Whether you keep them in your home or love to see them in theirs, these are the creatures that bring us all together.
Reptiles. We're going to be delving into the experiences of reptile lovers from around the block and around the world. This is the Reptile Talk Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Jeremy Turgeon from Brass Man Reptiles.
And I'm Robin. I'm creeping it real.
And boom, we are cruising into our 60s episodes pretty smoothly. And tonight, I'm stoked.
I'm super pumped tonight to have this guest on tonight.
Hell yeah, we've been waiting because he was late.
He's a busy guy, okay?
Yeah, he's a super busy guy. No, we're super excited. We've got Ozzy Boyds in the house. Let's go ahead and get him on here.
Boom, what's up, man?
What's up, dude?
How you doing?
Hey guys, what's up?
We're sorry I'm late, man.
I can't believe I did that.
It's usually me that's late, so hey.
It's true. Usually I'm like, hey, Rob is eating a burrito down the road and he'll be right back. So give me 5 minutes.
I'm hungry. You're doing snake stuff, man. You're doing important things.
That's right. Dude, well, thank you so much for coming to hang with us, man. We really appreciate you taking the time. I've been seeing you are like going all in on content. The YouTube is rocking now. You're out here doing all these podcasts everywhere. And man, it's constant motivation coming from you. I mean, not just as another ball python enthusiast, but just as somebody who's been in the industry for so long, it's always great to see someone's longevity, you know, and like they're not dying out, you know, like there's no burnout. Like I don't think about Ozzy Boyds and go, oh man, yeah, he's about to be, you know, out of it. He's been fizzling out. I'm like, dude,
every time Ozzy I see something like, posts, I'm Ozzy like, just God
hatched
damn.
Ozzy just hatched this thing that looks like a cloud that came down
in his
out
hand.
Of an egg, and he's got it in his hand.
Well, you know, on that topic, I know you reached out to me, I think it was last year, but I was starting to get burned out, not from the animals, but from the industry.
Yeah.
You know, some of these, especially when you have a little success, there's always a lot of drama and fucking haters and stuff like that. So I was taking a step back. Mm-hmm. And then I you know, I was thinking about it. I think it was like earlier this year. I started thinking about it and I was like, you know, that would be the wrong thing to do. Because I know people do enjoy the content. I remember when I started out, you know, the content is what inspired me and kept me going, like watching Ralph Davis, going to Ralph Davis Forum. You know, watching the stuff Kevin was putting out and Tracy Barker and the Snake Keeper and all of that. So, you know, I decided I'm going to actually do the opposite of the, you know, the way I was feeling. So, that's why I'm going full bore. I still love the hobby. I mean, I'm gung ho and I'm very, very passionate about the real estate and investing side of it too. Mm-hmm. All that actually gets me excited. So I don't feel like I'm working at all. And I want to share that. I spent a lot of time studying those topics and I want to share that, man, because I think it's important to you know, do what you love every day, you know. Mm-hmm. Best thing I did was in 2017, quit my 9-to-5. I can't believe I should have quit a long time ago. That shit sucks, you know? So
yeah.
It does, man. It just, I'm serious. It just sucks the life out of you, you know? And I had a good job and good career, blah, blah, blah. But the day-to-day bullshit in that environment is just, you know, it really just sucks the life out of you. So, if you love reptiles, I never encourage a non-reptile person to invest in snakes, in high-end snakes. Never. You'll never hear me do that. And I've even had, like, I have family members who they see my success and they're like, I'm going to get some snakes. And I'm like, I don't think you should.
Yeah.
And they're like, why not? It's because you're really not into it. You're not into the snakes. You're not into them. Yeah. So you're not going to succeed, you know?
Yeah. And people can tell, like, when you go to expos and stuff, if you're trying to sell something that you don't really care about, yeah, something that you're not, like, into, like, when people go to your table and they talk to you about your super orange dreams and all this, you know, the color and the pattern reduction and all this stuff, you can tell when you talk to you that you get excited about it, that you are, like, invested in this. If you go to somebody's table and they got, you know, an Azanthic Pied on their table, they're like, yep, that's an Azanthic Pied. Either you're going to buy it or you're not. You don't want to buy from them. Like, most people are not going to want to buy from them. And it can make the difference between actually being able to make that living and being able to be successful at it, and then some guys who are just, you know, just scraping by, you know, just barely making their bills.
Yep, exactly, man. It's all about the passion. I mean, I've been cleaning snake shit for 21 years now straight. You know, I mean, think about it. I've been feeding every week. I've been cleaning water bowls every week, and I don't hire like, you know, I've had people help. I have my nephew helping me out or whatever, but I don't like hiring that out. I like to do it myself. Yeah. Because when I'm in the snake room, like, I'm in a zone, and when I'm opening tubs, I'm looking at this snake and it's like, you know, it's triggering something in my head. Like, man, I need to put this gene with that combo of gene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's just it's a process, and my success is 100% is due to my passion for it. Mm-hmm. The love that I have for it, you know?
For sure.
So, yeah. So the people who are in it, you know, I want to put more content out and just more like around mindset and, you know, the strategic approach, you know, and it's okay to make money breeding snakes, you know? Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, get rid of all of those self-limiting bullshit beliefs around money and, you know, oh, I just do it for the love. I mean, you can still do it for the love and still make money. You know, money is necessary. Yeah. If you don't have financial freedom, you don't have freedom, is the way I see it.
Yep. That's it. It's always blown me away that, like, the reptile industry has been that one of those few industries when, you know, you start to make money and you know, where you can sustain yourself. People are like, oh, you're just in it for the money, you're a sellout and blah blah blah. But any other industry, if you can make a living out of it, they're like, oh man, that's awesome, that's good, amazing, for you. Yeah. You know, like, I don't understand what the difference is there.
That's just a fucking broke person trying to make sense of being broke. Yeah. So, you know, that's all it is. You know, money is a tool that's necessary. Like, you can't survive without it.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to work in some bullshit office job, stuck at a desk, you know, dealing with bullshit office politics all day, you know? It's like people will wake up and go to a job they hate their entire life and then talk about money isn't everything. Like, really? You know, when you wake up in the morning, don't go to work, just stay home.
Yeah, if you hate it.
It's a job, right? So it's just, there's a lot of self-limiting beliefs around money and a lot of psychological bullshit and baggage that we have with money. And you need to sort that out. And this industry is great because you can make a lot of money doing it. It's the money that's in this industry is freaking insane. It blows me away. And when I sit down with my accountant and I crunch the numbers, he's like flabbergasted. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, cause he's comparing it to other businesses and he's seeing the profit margins and he was like, this is insane. You know?
Yeah.
He's like, you should go public. You know?
I'm buying stock in Aussie Boys. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
that's not gonna happen, but you know, so if you love this reptile thing and you're passionate about it, and even if you have a job, maybe you have a job, you know, you don't gotta do a ton of snakes, maybe you do 20 clutches, you know, you do 20 clutches and generate extra 60 grand a year or whatever, that's great, you know.
Yeah,
pay off the mortgage or some shit, or you know, go buy an investment property. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's so crazy too, because we went from, you know, a lot of people what I saw at the beginning, we were just talking about this before we started, but at the beginning of the pandemic where everything kind of got shut down, Prices on everything just went up. Like, this stuff has been steadily on the incline over the last couple of years for a lot of different things, but but not for everything. There were some things that kind of stayed kind of steady. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, when everything kind of shut down, prices for every, like just about everything went up, like almost double or like time and a half, something like that. And there's a lot of people who are like, well, I remember spending $10 on this and I don't want to spend blah, blah, blah on this. And it's like, well, that's fine. That can be your opinion. But guess what? There's 100 other people that can value that animal and value the work that's a breeder's put into it and value what this person's doing, especially for captive bred stuff, the stuff that you're producing, the stuff that we're producing. We put so much work and effort and time and thought and like just sweat into making these babies. And then for someone to tell you, oh, well, it's not worth that because I don't think it's worth that. It's usually broke people that don't want to spend the money on a snake that they want, you know?
Yeah. And that, so that scarcity mindset, you know, that shit's a killer. It'll keep you broke. It'll keep you broke because you'll find the perfect snake. You'll have some adult females and you'll find a perfect male for those adult females. And these guys will be haggling over $200 and they'll walk away from, say, a $2,000 snake and they want to give you $1,800. And I'm like, nah, price is firm. And they'll walk away from it. But that $2,000 snake bred to their three females can make them $60,000 worth of shit. So they're so focused on saving $200 that they're missing out on 60 grand. That's that scarcity mindset. That shit will keep you broke. And, you know, and the other thing is I notice, and you guys, you, if you've been doing sales for Kevin, you probably noticed this too. Mm-hmm. You'll have a $10,000 snake. And then you have a $200 snake, right? Yeah. And a customer that buys a $10,000 snake, he'll send you a text and be like, hey, is this snake available? Yep.
And they buy it.
What's your PayPal? Bam. They won't waste any of your time. Like 10 grand, bam, in your account.
Yeah.
And then a $200 buyer, do you have pictures of the parents?
The belly and the
pick, a top pick, a side pick. How much does it weigh? Blah 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 blah. They, you know, so the difference is, and this is what I realized, the difference is, you know, people who have money and are successful, they value time.
Mm-hmm.
People who are broke value money. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference, because time is more valuable than money. And once you figure that out, the money, you know, will come to you by default.
Absolutely.
And money is a tool, man. If you have $200, you should be trying to turn it into $1,000, not trying to protect that $200, because, you know, you got to be moving forward.
I was just saying that on an Instagram story. I'm like, people, you need to realize that your time is as much of an investment into something as, you know, the $100 bill in your pocket. And if you're not aware of that, if you're not already thinking about that, you know, and you're just wasting your time scrolling through social media or whatever, you know, just commenting bullshit somewhere on TikTok or whatever, like, you're wasting all of that time that you could be putting into your project, you know, making sure you're spending the time thinking about, okay, what pairings am I doing this year? Staring at those animals, looking for stuff. Okay, how can I take it to the next level? What do I need to take it to the next level? You know,
that's why I don't go on Facebook anymore, because I just feel like, you know, I feel like it's a waste of damn time. And you won't see me on any more forums. Like, you won't see me having debates. I don't do it, man. I stay away from it. I try to maximize my time every day. And I want to be as efficient as possible, and I want to accomplish my goals. And I do these podcasts and stuff like that. Initially, I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm just, you know, people don't appreciate whatever content you put out, but that's not true. I think a lot of people do appreciate it. A lot of people are inspired, you know, but it's easy to focus on the two or three assholes that are, you know, being negative or whatever, we're trying to, you know, just trying to hate on you for whatever reason. So that's why I'm doing this. That's why I'm putting out the content. I want to have success you know, I want to grow, but I want other people to have success too. So, so that's what's up. Yeah. And I love the industry. I like to see the industry continue to grow. And absolutely, without the money, yeah, without the money, we would have lost our rights years ago. You know, it's money that funds organizations like USARC and, you know, PJAC and, you know, lawsuits and stuff like that. And it's the, when they look at the industry as a whole and they see the income that it's generating and the jobs that the industry is creating, that's what will discourage those politicians from implementing
regulations, you know, on that sort of stuff.
Regulations, yeah, that will, yeah, hurt the industry. Because at the end of the day, all they care about is money and yep, you know, and taxes.
Yep.
Yep. Unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah, man, yeah, you gotta play the game sometimes, and that's just kind of what, yes, it boils down to. And yeah, I think that if they, a lot of times when they look at the reptile industry, a lot of them are just looking at, well, these guys are buying and selling snakes online. They're not paying taxes. They're not thinking about the people who are buying rodent food, people who are buying wood and PVC and buying water dishes, yeah, and, you know, deli cups and, you know, Aspen, and FedEx, Cypress, and, you know, FedEx. Exactly. Dude, if, yeah, they saw how much we spend at FedEx every year, holy crap.
Yeah.
Like, yep, I don't think, exactly, they understand the full scope. Like, I get that some politicians kind of know that it is a big industry and everything. But I don't think that they grasp the full effect of, yeah, it, the full scope of everything.
And more importantly, they don't grasp the full potential.
Yeah,
because the industry, the exotic pet segment of the pet industry is the fastest growing segment of the pet industry globally. So we're just scratching the surface, and it's continuing to grow. And you got new people entering the hobby, you know, and it's a great hobby because of the business aspect of it, because people, mm-hmm, are learning they're learning how to start a business, and they're learning about business, and they're learning about taxes or whatever. And all of that is stimulating the economy and all the shipping. I mean, in January, we couldn't find heat packs. They ran, uh-huh, out of heat packs.
That's wild, right? You just think, yeah, about that. There's, yeah, no, yeah, other reason for, I mean, what would the other reason for the heat pack shortage be besides reptile people and fish people and, like, exotic animals? There's, yeah, no other reason. Yeah. It's not from hunters, yeah, or anything like that. Like,
yeah, yeah. I think some plant people use them too. Yeah. But that's it. I mean, so it's all of those little hobby based, and a lot of those are also generating new little small, you know, work from home businesses. Mm-hmm. So all of that is important, and, you know, it, yeah, keeps people employed when the other jobs dry up, you know? So, and that's our new economy, you know, that's where the jobs are at. That's where the future is for the economy. So let me let my dog in real quick. I'll be right back.
Yeah. No worries. Nice.
Dude, this is actually exciting. I like talking about the industry side of things, because, I mean, it's cool to talk about you know, people's personal experiences and stuff. But the economy, we haven't done really yet.
We haven't.
Kinda.
And I'm just saying, especially with somebody like Ozzy, who especially, like, recently on YouTube has really been, like, going hard on the industry side of stuff and the
financial
aspects and strategies and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to put out more content, and I'm continuing to learn and grow. I joined an organization called GoBundance recently, and it's a group of entrepreneurs, you know, tribe of millionaires, just like a bunch of, you know, and those guys, like, when usually if I'm out or I meet some people or whatever, and they say, hey, what do you do? And I say, I breed snakes. You know, they're usually like, what? Like,
yeah,
you know, that legal, you know? The typical response, you know, but, like, around these guys, these guys just have a different mindset. And they're like, really? Like, dude, that's cool as shit. Like, mm-hmm. And then, you know, they're asking questions, you know, like business related questions. And some of them I can't even answer. Like, I'm still, for me, for a long time, for me, in my head, this was a hobby, you know, mm-hmm. And I was like, this is just something I do on the side, you know? Yeah. And in 2017, when I quit, I was like, you know what? I started pulling up my tax returns and I'm like, you know, I could live very comfortably off of this income, and it keeps increasing every year, you know? So why, you know, I went to work the next day and I fucking quit, you know? And
damn.
And I was like, yeah, I'm done. You know, it was like, oh, but your bonus is in, you know, in 2 months. I'm like, keep it, you know.
Wow.
I'm like, out. Like, I'm, you know, I'm out. And it was the best thing I ever did, you know. And so now I'm doing this full time, and now I'm starting to do the real estate. I always wanted to do the real estate. I just didn't have the time and the energy, you know, to educate myself. But now what I do, when I'm in a snake room cleaning, I usually have an earbud in my ear and I'm listening to podcasts or I'm listening to audiobooks. So I'm educating myself while I'm in the snake room. And I've learned a lot about taxes and about real estate and investing, et cetera. I do a little stock, you know, but if more snake people did that, then, you know, a lot of us would be, you know, achieve millionaire status, you know, like, you know, 95% of people don't even track their net worth. You know, that's a real simple spreadsheet. You can just start tracking it. And it's like, you know, it's like playing a game and not keeping score. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got a lot of people who are making a lot of money, but they're broke. Mm-hmm. The shit is tragic, you know, but once you become aware of it and you start tracking it, and then you're like, oh, fuck, like, you know, and then you start taking specific actions to grow your net worth. And then you just see your net worth growing and you see your passive income, the amount of passive income that's coming in, increasing and increasing and increasing, you know, and that's where you want to be at, you know.
Absolutely.
And the crazy thing is in this reptile community, we're uniquely positioned to become millionaires. Like if you follow some very basic, and it's just basically you make a little money, instead of spending it, invest it, you know, instead of buying liabilities, buy assets, you know, buy a piece of real estate, buy some Bitcoin, you know, buy some stocks, you know, something. Just stop spending it on bullshit. And, you know, even if you just take 40% of your snake money, you know, maybe you buy a few high-end snakes to build up your collection, you know, increase the dollar value of the stuff you're producing, and then take a little money and, you know, invest it. If you do that, man, you know, you'll see your net worth will start to snowball, you know?
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people don't want to hear about that shit, but, you know, I know a few people, I'm going to talk about a few people who are going to listen. They're going to do it. There's already guys that I've talked to, like, about real estate investing and stuff like that, and they started looking into it. I tell them, hey, check out Bigger Pockets. You know, they have a podcast and they interview real estate investors, you know, just regular people who are, some people are flipping, some people are buying mobile home parks, some people are buying storage units, whatever. Some people are starting with no money. Some people are starting with a lot of money. It doesn't matter. One thing they have in common is they all figured out a way to have massive success. So a few guys have started doing it, and I love it because they text me and like, dude, I picked up my first rental property or whatever. So if I could influence even a handful of guys, I'm gonna do it. And I'm also educating myself. It motivates me to continue to learn and grow myself and grow Absolutely. My portfolio. So.
Absolutely, dude. I definitely think it's a necessary conversation to have within the industry, especially when like it's certainly possible to make a living off of breeding reptiles. But, you know, I mean, to be able to situate yourself in a position where you can generate more than enough income to have that financial freedom and then not have to worry about the rest of
life,
you know, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like that. That makes it that much better, especially when, you know, it's no shocker if we're keeping all these animals. There's a little bit of added overhead that yeah. we have to deal with, electric bills, heat bills, if you're yeah. you know in cold temps and stuff like that, you know, so not have to worry about that, to do whatever you can do to really just put yourself like, yep, it is what it is, whatever, it's a bill paid, no worries, like that's
huge,
that's massive.
Yeah, it's great, it's a great feeling, and it's you know, it's sad that we live in the U.S. We live in the richest country in the world, and we have so many people living paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. This shit is tragic, and it doesn't have to be that way. You know, fuck what the politicians say. You know, the politicians are going to blow a bunch of smoke in your ass, smoke mm-hmm. up your ass, and, you know, try to convince you that, oh, the system is rigged, and, you know, that's why, you know, the rich are getting richer. And no, the rich are getting richer because they invest their money. When they make a little money, they put it to work. They let their money work for them mm-hmm. instead of just spending it and buying dumb shit and playing video games all day. So, you know, it's like nobody's going to influence your situation more than you. You know, if these politicians, if they forgive 10 grand of your student loan, you're still going to be broke. You know, mm-hmm. the 10 grand ain't going to change your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, hopefully people you know, wake up and starting their own businesses or whatever. You know, like I said, us in the reptile community, we're lucky because we have a viable industry that's growing like crazy every year. And if you sit down with a piece of pen and paper and do the math, the return on investment is insane. I've done it for some snakes, and it's like, you know, 650% the first year. You know, where are you going to get that?
Yeah.
You
know,
unless you're selling heroin or some shit, you know, you're not going to get that.
It's meth up here, man. That's what's been going around.
So, you know, so the thing is, people focus on the price, though. Like, you know, last year they were complaining, oh, I paid 10 grand for Hurricane Clown. Now there's 6,500, you know. And if somebody reading that, they were like, oh, the ball python market sucks. It, you know, it was 10 grand. Now it's 6,500. Well, that 10 grand snake can make you 10 $6,500 snakes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, so again, it's mindset, and sit down with a calculator or a pen and paper or whatever, however you do math. Or if you can't count, take it to your CPA and let them crunch the numbers. I'm serious. It's like the shit. And then you hear people say, oh, you can't make money. And I'm like, that's not true, man. That's bullshit. Like, you know, you can make money. You can make money. But you can't, if you make that money and you just spend it on dumb shit, you know, some of these guys, you know, I have no problem going to the strip club and partying, but some of these guys go to the strip club and get crazy. And they make 10 G's at the show, and now they're, you know, and they go to the strip club and, you know, they spend eight.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. But it was, hey, it was like a good couple. It was a good few hours, bro.
I don't know, $8,000 in memories.
A few hours. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, it was fun. But then don't blame the snake industry. I mean, you made 10 grand.
True.
You
just blew.
You blew eight.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of times too, we got to learn to control. As reptile people, we're kind of hoarders. You know, I've had this conversation with Kev. You know. A lot of times, you know, because, you know, you make 10 grand and we've all done it. You know, you make 10 grand and you're like, I'm not going to buy any snakes. I'm not going to buy snakes. And the next thing you know, you bought a $12,000 snake. So now you're down, you know.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just saying, even if you didn't say you talked to Kev about this, we would have known.
Yeah, we would have.
Yeah, me and Kelly's have a lot of funny conversations. But so the thing is when you're buying snakes and you're building your collection, it has to be strategic. You know, it has to be strategic. Like I sell like the original orange ring female. When I was done with her, I sold her to Mark Bailey. Like, it's not sentimental for me. It's like, I love what I do. Don't get me wrong, but I'm a designer. I'm not a collector. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm a designer. So whatever's in my collection has a purpose from a breeding standpoint. So everything that I do is very, very strategic. And again, like that video I did the other day where I kind of measure, I'm always upgrading my genetics and I'm always measuring, you know, because if you're not measuring, you know, you can't really gauge your performance and make adjustments. So yeah, my goal is always to step it up and, you know, make sure I'm making something new and cool. I don't want to keep making the same super orange dream every year for the next 10 years. I mean, that, you know, it's no fun, but it's also not a very good business plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That concept of upgrading, you know, cause I checked out that video and I had to chuckle to myself, cause I'm like, man, how many people are listening to him say, I sell adult proven females every year and are going, Ozzy's crazy as shit, man. Yep. I wouldn't do that. You know, you know,
Ian,
but it's real, man.
Yeah. Ian used to think I was crazy. And then he came to me one day, he was like, you know, I used to think you're crazy. I you know, when you were selling those het ghost big breeder females and he was buying all that shit up. He was like, you know, I kind of see what you're doing now. And again, it's like I'm keeping my collection right at my sweet spot where I'm not getting burned out. I'm still enjoying it. You know, I'm doing the same 50 clutches a year, but every year my 50 clutches are worth a little bit more. So I'm actually increasing my income without, you know, killing my passion.
Yeah.
So,
and that's key. That really is key, man, because so many people are just they have that hoarding mentality, you know, and they go from that, you know, 50, 60 females to 120 females or whatever. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah. And then they're like, I'm exhausted.
I talk to guys and I talk to a lot of guys, different size collections. And I know guys who have 300 breeder females. And they make 150 or 100 clutches from 300 breeder females. And then the guys with 150 females that do 100 clutches. And if you sit down and you calculate it, you'll see what I'm talking about. I was just talking to Corey DeLong earlier about this. Mm-hmm. But as your collection grows, the success rate for your females, like if when I used to have like, you know, 20 females, I used to get like 80-90% of the females to go. Mm-hmm. And as my collection goes, it drops down to 70%, 60%, you know, 50%. So as your collection grows, the success rate in those females, it declines. Mm-hmm. You guys think I'm lying? Go look at your numbers. Go look back, look at your numbers and do the math and you'll see what I'm talking about. And it's true across multiple locations, different breeders, different collections. It's true. So, you know, it's key to find that sweet spot where you're operating very efficiently and then stay there and just upgrade, you know, get better genetics. My dog is making an appearance here.
That is not a reptile.
Yeah, he doesn't like when I ignore him for too long.
What kind of dog is that?
He's a German short hair pointer.
Okay. Very cool.
He's like, wait, what?
Hey, you guys have cicadas? You guys probably don't have any cicadas up there.
Not the 17 year ones or whatever it is.
No.
Yeah. They're everywhere down here, and he's been eating them like crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Now he's like looking up at the ceiling. He's like looking for one.
Yeah, you're like, what's that? He's like, another one.
Oh man.
No, this is all awesome stuff, man. And again, I think it's great that you're taking that initiative to put the content out there, and hopefully it's taken the blinders off of a lot of people's eyes as they try to develop, you know, their collection or think about really starting a business, and you know, maybe it gives them that that little spark to be like, you know what, let me just go through my collection and see, you know, yeah. And maybe I don't need those extra two or three snakes and whatever, because that gives me a space to, you know, maybe hold on to something that's a little better and raise it up and do whatever, and then not feel so under the gun, you know.
Yeah, and maybe, like, I know a lot of people struggle with finding feeders, you know. Now you have, you know, one or two less mouths to feed, so you could be, you know, more productive. And again, I think the reason why we haven't had a crash for so long and why the industry has been so strong is because I think people are not mass producing anymore. People are being very specific about what they're trying to produce, and they're trying to produce designers that take a lot longer to make. So, you know, instead of like back in the day, people would, you know, they'll get an ultrasound and a male banana and try to, you know, breed that male to 20 females.
Yeah.
Now, then all of a sudden we got, you know, 3,000 bananas on the market. So I don't think people are doing that anymore. So I think that's kept the industry strong. But yeah, it's a crazy industry. And you look at like Freedom Breeder, you know, I've been ordering cages, man, and they're swamped. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, it's taken 4 months, you know, 4 or 5 months to get your cages. And same with ARS, you know, same with sea serpents. I mean, they're running out of material, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of the cage builders haven't been able to get PVC recently. Like, literally, they're trying to get pallets and they can't even get pallets. They can get a couple sheets here and a couple sheets there, and it's been tough.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all related to all of the money that they, you know, that they flooded into the economy. That's going to lead to inflation, because, mm-hmm. you know, manufacturers, you know, if it's just like snakes. I remember when we were selling Orange Ghost females, you know, I would put them up for $2,500 and in 2 hours sold.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what I did? I raised the price to 3,000. So, mm-hmm. And then they were still selling in 2-3 hours. So
yeah.
Yep.
So when companies can't keep up with the demand, naturally they're just going to start jacking up the prices. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing now. I got 12 racks from Freedom Breeder last year, 2020, and it was like $2,500 shipping. A year later in March, I got another 12 racks. It was 6,000.
Damn.
And then like 2 months later, it was like 60. It actually was like 7,500, but I went with rail. I used rail and I got it down to 6,400. Mm-hmm. So that's inflation, you know. Yep. The trucking companies, they can't find drivers, you know. Whether they're staying home collecting unemployment, or I don't know, maybe they're selling snakes online. I don't know. they can't find drivers. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
So it's gonna jack. Yeah, you're gonna start seeing prices, you know. I think the cage manufacturers are starting to jack up price. So that's a perfect example. Obviously, we could use more cage builders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The rodents. Obviously, if somebody can figure out how to supply the industry with rodents, then they can make a lot of money. I mean, that's you know, rodents are tough. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah. you know,
huge
it's a viable business.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I tell people all the time, like, man, imagine, as horrible as it would be, if, you know, some piece of legislation went through, you know, we couldn't breed or sell snakes anymore. What's the one thing everybody would still need? Feeders.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, no matter what happens, we got to feed our stuff. Yeah. You know, like, yeah.
So I think if they tried to ban it, it would just go underground. I mean,
Of course. Yeah.
I remember when you know, we couldn't ship snakes through UPS and FedEx. Mm-hmm. You know, what did we do? We shipped snakes through UPS and FedEx.
Yep, exactly.
We were still shipping them. We were still shipping them in unmarked boxes. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean, we were using Delta Dash too and driving to the airports, but a lot of people were still shipping. People were even shipping through the postal, you know.
Postal service.
I've had someone recently do that. Like, within the last couple of years, I had somebody send us a snake to Nerd through the USPS. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
There's no need for that. There's no need for that anymore. But, UPS never. And I think UPS, I think the Bells ship, or they used to ship, like, they had authorization to ship animals to UPS.
You can do lizards and turtles.
Tortoises.
Turtles and inverts, as long as they're not venomous. You can do any of that stuff through UPS. We always get UPS representatives that contact Nerd, and they're like, hey, so I saw that you ship with FedEx, and I'm like, we ship out too many snakes to work with you. Sorry. Unless you guys are going to give us an exemption. They're like, hold on, let me look it up. Oh, no, we can't do that. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
The unions have them handcuffed.
Yep.
So yeah.
They can't make smart business decisions. Because and FedEx is cleaning up.
Yeah, for real.
Every time I go to FedEx and I drop off boxes, and I always see live, shipments.
Yep. So, mm-hmm. A whole bunch of people.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's crazy because FedEx was suffering going into the pandemic because they lost all of that Amazon. When Amazon launched their own fleet, they lost a lot of business. And I mean, their stock was down to like $95. Me and Jesse bought that stock. And
wow.
And I was going to FedEx, we're going to FedEx 2-3 times a week, shipping a ton of snakes, and they were swamped. And I was looking at their stock price, and their stock price dropped down below 100, and I pounced on it. I bought it. I told Jesse bought some, and then it shot up. And we sold it too early, man. I think we sold it at like 170, 180. We were like, yeah, we made 70%. And now it's like $300. I mean, we should have just held on to it. Could have made a 200% return on your money. But that's a perfect example. Like, if even if you're taking 20 or 30 grand, you've been doing this for 10 years and you've been taking 20, 30 grand and buying Tesla and Netflix and Amazon, I mean, or some Bitcoin, where would you be now? I mean, you'd be set, Me personally, I love real estate. I think real estate is crazy. Like the way, basically where real estate is like this, you're basically making money with other people's money, right? You buy a piece of real estate and you put down 20%, right? And say you're making a 10% return on that real estate. So you put down 20%, you're making 10% on your 20%, but then the other 80%, you're borrowing it at a 3% interest rate, but you're making 10%. So now you're making 7% on somebody else's money.
Mm.
And that's the leverage piece of real estate. And then from a tax standpoint, it's like low taxes. So then you're getting a tax break, you're getting that cash flow, making money on somebody else's money, and then you're paying off that mortgage. Then you got the appreciation. So you're like making money from like so many different directions. And if you keep doing that consistently, like if you have a kid, for instance, you can just buy a little condo or a townhouse, right? Then rent that out. And then when your kid is ready to go to college, you just refinance, right?
Yep. There you go.
And real estate is also a hedge against inflation because we're experiencing like a 5% inflation right now, which is pretty high. Mm-hmm. That means your money sitting in the bank is decreasing by 5% every year. Mm-hmm. That shit is crazy. Like, think about that. Because the buying power of your dollar is decreasing. But if you buy real estate, you borrow it at today's value, and then you're paying it back with cheaper dollars. So if you borrow $200,000 piece of real estate, and it's going down, the value of the dollar is going down 5% every year, in 10 years, that $200,000 is worth a lot less, right? It's like 50% less. Yeah. So you're paying it back with, you know, cheaper dollars. And then when there's inflation, the cost of real estate is going to go up. So you're paying it back with cheaper dollars, and then the value is going to shoot through the roof. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So people need to learn about it. It's not rocket science. It's, you know, I'm no genius. I'm a common sense kind of practical kind of guy. So if I can figure it out, you know, other people can figure it out too. And yeah, if people just start buying, you know, once a year, you make 60 grand, take 20 grand, invest it, you know, party like a rock star with the other 40.
Buy some new racks, buy some new cages.
Or go to the strip club.
No.
He sounded like a rock star, man.
I guess. Dude, I just went a couple weeks ago. I went on a field herping trip out in Southwest Utah, but we flew into Vegas and then drove from Vegas up to Utah. But when we were driving through Vegas, one of my friends a couple weeks before posted a picture of the strip club, and outside it says thousands of beautiful girls and three ugly ones. And I was like, okay, I have a morbid curiosity. I need to see what's going on here.
That's how they get you.
The best part was you go in there and you ask the girls, you go, okay, now which three are the ugly ones? You can tell who doesn't like each other.
You know, there's always some of that cattiness going on. It's funny.
Oh,
that's
good. Oh man.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is the only time I'll go to a strip club is when I go to a snake show.
Yep. It goes together. Probably, come on. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Come on.
Yeah. Come on. Oh, man. You see this?
Yeah.
Go. Go. Cicada.
For everyone, who's just listening on the audio, his wife just came in and he told her, no, I'm just kidding. This is dog.
Oh man. You know, I'm single now, but I used to tell my lady, she you know, she's like, what did you guys do? We went to the strip club.
Yep.
She was like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's a business. And, you know, I gotta, you know.
It's a business meeting.
That's wining and dining. That's wining and dining, you know.
Got a network, yeah. So it's, you know, it's a business thing. And it's true, man. We go out, we have a good time. I mean, we go get steaks or whatever, and then, you know, it's always a lot of fun.
Oh, that's too good.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Hilarious. Okay, so we can't do this podcast and not talk about what the hell you're producing.
Yeah, what the hell, dude?
We have to, because... The Azanthic pied whatever nonsense to coin a Kevin term silliness you have going on over there. Like, dude, I mean, it's no shock to anybody that's listening now or listening on the audio version only that man, when you say you're a designer, I mean, that's truer words were never spoken.
Armani.
You know, I mean, yeah. So What's happening over there with the ball pythons, man? Because you're making some shit that just I have to stare at it. Like I go on a break just to stare.
Well, it's been man, it's a lot of fun. I'm just gonna tell you, like I love doing this, and every year, like I was talking to Justin the other night, and he was saying every year it's like it just keeps getting better and better. And it's true. It's like the combo potential, it's really limitless. So what I do is when I hatch stuff out, the best stuff I keep, you know, I don't keep it all, but I keep the most powerful stuff. And if I produce, you know, at most I'll keep two males of a crazy combo.
Yeah.
You know, because you know how males are. Sometimes one doesn't want to breed or whatever. So I like to have two, but my space is limited. So, you know, I could easily go out and buy more racks, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. So I keep the best, the cream of the crop, and then I sell the rest. And then I just raised that stuff up. And when I put that stuff together, man, it's like, it's magical. The stuff that's popping out. So that pod, the first pod that I produced, I think the one I put up last night, I think that's an Orange Dream Fire Enchi Leopard Azanthic pie. And that's just insane. And right? It's a beautiful animal. And Mark Mandick was the one that inspired that project, because I went up to Toronto a few years ago, and he had an Orange Dream Fire Lightning Pied. Mm-hmm. And that just, I was like, dude, I never even thought, I didn't even consider adding Orange Dream to a Xantic.
Right.
And Mark's always been a big fan of Orange Dream. And he was like, man, Orange Dream goes good with everything. And it had like a desert ghost effect with the Xantic. So I was like, holy shit. So it just, you know, it's like little things like that. It'll click. And then I went home, and that year I started that project.
Hell yeah.
You know, and so again, it's like, you know, there are combos out there that we haven't even considered yet, that we haven't even thought about. And sometimes when you'll see like a couple of genes come together, and then it'll trigger, you know, something in your head. But the other thing is the leopard and the pied. A lot of people were sleeping on the leopard pied stuff. But I think the leopard really adds a very unique dynamic to the pied. And it does, you guys have seen all those crazy patterns. And it's just like, you're not a typical pied. And like, if you go look on my, you know, you go look on my page, you'll see everything has leopard. My Desert Ghost pied stuff. You know, my Super Orange Dream pied stuff has leopard. That, you know, working on the Super Orange Dream hypo pied stuff, I'm getting leopard into that too. So the leopard just really, when you start stacking genes on top of it with leopard, it does a lot of little like crazy oddball things. So and then again, I've been producing a lot of high white Enchi pieds. And a lot of people always thought, you know, Enchi pieds are low white. And I post animals and people are like, that's not Enchi, it's mid white. I'm like, well, no.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, dude at the strip club told me it was Enchi pie.
come to the strip club, buy a bottle, and we'll discuss it. If you stack Orange Dream and Fire and Yellow Belly and all of that, once you start stacking all those genes on there, it does some really, really unusual things. And I know it can counteract, like fire pieds are very high white. Mm-hmm. But when you start adding Enchi and Orange Dream, it could counteract that too. So so I'm just, man, I'm over here having a blast with it. And again, you know, I do spend a lot of time, you know, on my breeding plan and on my breeding plan and, you know, and looking at my animals and trying to figure out and how to maximize, you know, my breeding plan and my output.
I try to
avoid redundancy. People see my output and they think I have like I'm doing 300 clutches or something. And when I tell them I just did 70 clutches or 60 clutches, they're shocked. But it's because I don't have a lot of redundancy in my collection. You know, I'm not going to produce, you know, 20 Desert Ghost Pied clutches. You know, that's just not my MO. I'd rather mix it up and have like a lot of variety. So, I got some cool stuff pipping now. So it's going to be fun. I think I'm at like clutch, I don't know, like what hatch, like clutch 15 or something.
Okay.
And I think I'm going to do 80 this year.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's still a solid number of clutches, man. 80
clutches. Oh, it's plenty, man. It's plenty. And, like, you know, again, like I said, some of those clutches are, you know, $30,000, $40,000 clutches. That's plenty, you know? Yeah. I could party a little bit on that.
I was going to say, this one goes in the stocks. This one's for the strip club. This one's for the stocks.
Yeah. Real estate.
But I'm trying to, yeah. I'm really trying to like just build my real estate portfolio. Cause I really like that passive income and, you know, in retirement, it'll be nice to have a nice fat portfolio. And then when I pass, you know, it'd be nice to be able to leave that to my kids, you know.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. For sure.
Yeah, man.
Forward thinking. I think that really is the key to it all, man. You got to be looking ahead and planning ahead. Otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, and you could, like, I'm having a blast. It's not like I'm working in a coal mine or something. I'm having a good time, you know, while I'm doing it, while I'm, you know, trying to leave a legacy for my, you know, for my kids and my, hopefully if I have grandkids, to benefit them. Again, I tell my daughters, like, what I'm trying to give them is freedom to do what they want. Like, you know, mm-hmm. if they want to be a school teacher. School teachers don't make a lot of money, but if you don't got to worry about money, you could be a school teacher, you know? Yep. Or, you know, you want to be a hippie, you know? Be a hippie. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not judging my kids. I want to give them freedom, man. I want them to do whatever they want to do.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Man, could you imagine that? A rich ass hippie?
maybe.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, You an Aussie hippie. That's yeah. It.
I try to
festival.
Yeah. I teach them to work. I mean, I make them work, you know. I teach them a work ethic, you know. I'm not a big fan of lazy people. So do something, you know, if you find something you love and, you know, stay active and, you know, work hard and, you know, don't just sit around. Playing video games or whatever. I don't support that. But I'm actually going to be doing a video about that because I actually hired my kids. So I pay my kids. And there's some really good tax benefits around that. I don't know if you guys know about that. No, but no. You could pay your kids up to $12,000 a year. And it's a tax write-off for your business, but they don't have to pay taxes.
Wow. Really?
So they get 12 grand a year tax-free. Yeah. And then what you do is you set up a Roth IRA for them. And my kids are 12 and 16. So if I start saving for their retirement now.
Oh, yeah. They are set.
By the time they're so 40, set. They get to retire.
Yeah.
So I told them, you know, you guys got to work. And, you know, they're cleaning tubs or whatever, but, you know, making shipping boxes, sweeping, whatever. And you know, put $6,000 away for them a year. Mm-hmm. And then they got to do 5% towards charity. So they got to pick a charity, 5% towards a charity. And then the rest, I don't care what they do with it. They want to buy Roblox gift cards, whatever. you know what I mean? So, if they get in the habit of you know, saving and investing 50% of everything they make, they'll be set. Like, you know.
True.
And with the Roth IRA, what I want to do with them is I want to teach them how to invest. So I want them to buy companies, like, you know, they watch Netflix every day, you know, maybe you want to own Netflix. I don't know. Actually, Roblox went public recently.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. They went public recently. And that's a very good business. Like, they're making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, she's always playing that shit. So, you know, maybe I'll get her to buy some Roblox. Because, you know, some of these companies, like if they would have bought Netflix back in the day or, you know, Tesla, whatever, you know, they would be sitting comfortable right now.
True. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. So we're rounding out our time here. But before we end this, we ask all of our guests one final question. So, Ozzy, that question is, why don't you have any corn snakes?
No, that's not what the question is.
No. So the question is, what in the realm of reptiles, be it something in your own collection, something that you see online or anything like that, what in the realm of reptiles has you excited about reptiles?
I love the growth, like the growth, the global. Yeah. I love seeing it grow globally. So that's got me really, really excited. I love seeing a lot of people. There's a lot of people having a lot of success in it. You know, I love seeing guys coming up and building their collections and, you know, starting from scratch and doing really, really well. That excites me, man. It just, you know, it's been so good to me. I'd like to see it to continue to grow and flourish, you know, mm-hmm. and I like to see other people, have the same success that I've had with it, you know?
Hell yeah.
So it's really changed my life.
Do you export?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I just sent a bunch of animals yesterday. I shipped a bunch of animals going to Indonesia. So it's taken off everywhere, man. And last week I did an interview with the guys in South Korea, mm-hmm. you know, Park and Jung and all those guys. And like when I was consulting, you know, I was over there and, you know, they would pick me up and take me out, you know, mm-hmm. And that was an experience and that was a lot of fun.
Heck yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy, man. Listening to Korean rap, you know?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, and I, you know, when I travel, like, you know, I always reach out to people and there's snake people everywhere, man. And I have customers everywhere. So it's really, really cool. You know, like I want to go to Indonesia. You know, this guy's in South Africa. I mean, there's reptile people everywhere, man. And they're cool as shit, you know, and they'll pick up and take you out. Like, you know, so, I mean, how cool is that? What other industry compares?
True.
No other industry compares.
So true.
But that's what excites me, man. Just the global growth and expansion.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah, man. So I feel like everybody already knows where they can find you. But tell the people who might not know, who've been living under a rock for the last however many years, where they can find what you're doing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, just check out... just look for at Ozzy Boyds on Instagram, Facebook. And we're stepping up the YouTube game after. Yeah. I think my last YouTube video was with the garbage bag. Like I was showing off some orange dreams and I needed a background and I used the garbage bag. Ask Kevin about that.
Oh boy.
Because he called me, he was cursing me out. He was like, dude, really? A garbage bag? He was like, you have those nice snakes and you got a garbage bag?
Hey, man, he doesn't have much to say, man. For the first, I don't know how many years of his YouTube, all we knew was his hand. Nobody knew what Kevin looked like. It was just his hand.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way too, man. I was, you know. But yeah, so I'm going to continue to try to put out content. And again, it's just trying to create some excitement and inspiring people. And hopefully we could all get rich doing this and have a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
So,
yeah,
dude. You know, all right, man. And then the politicians really can't touch us.
That's right.
That's right.
Get fucked.
Right?
All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, dude.
It's been very
interesting. Yeah, it was fun, man. Yeah. Sorry about the delay. I owe you guys one.
No worries, man. No worries.
All right. Good night, fellas.
Take care.
All right, bye.